Hi, I'm Adam, and welcome to the First Man Photography Podcast. Welcome back if you are a previous listener. It has been a good while, not quite sure how long, but maybe over a year since I last posted a podcast. No real excuse for that, it's just other things happen, times get busy, family things, work things, and the podcast just kind of fell away. Although I didn't want it to, it just did. I have no excuse, so I'm making an effort now to bring it back to you. It's hopefully very soon going to be available wherever you get your podcasts. That includes iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all that kind of thing. It is just available on TuneIn and iTunes at the moment, but hopefully, like I say, soon it will be available elsewhere. So today in the episode, I am going to start off by talking about gear, photography gear, because recently there has been loads of new gear releases, and a lot of them are creating a lot of excitement, a lot of discussion. So I thought I'd just go over a few things, a few thoughts I've got about photography gear generally, and some of the things that are coming out. So you may have seen my video that went out on Sunday, which was the review of the Fujifilm X-T3. Good review, I thought. And really liked using that camera. I bought it with my own money. I'm probably going to be keeping that camera to introduce into my workflow. And we'll talk a little bit more about my workflow a little later on. But every time I do a review, and I try to do them real world, where I take the camera out into the landscape and film and take pictures and talk about the image that I'm creating, just so it's a little bit different to some of the other sort of more technical reviews that you might see out there. You can see the whole process from sort of composing the image to then taking it, and you see the image afterwards after it's been post-processed. And most people seem to really enjoy those videos. But I have now released two reviews of a Fujifilm camera. The X-H1 was the first one that I did a little while ago, and then the Fujifilm X-T3 from this week. And it just, they create some aggression in the comments, and people get very, very passionate about Fujifilm cameras. And it was something I learned after the X-H1 review, but just the passion is amazing. It's incredible. And it just doesn't seem to be something that happens with other manufacturers like Canon, Nikon. People do get a bit more passionate about Sony's, but Fujifilm are onto a winner with how they have created a brand loyalty that seems unmatched at the moment in the camera world. Sometimes if you say something that is negative or there's something you don't like about it, you get attacked from these passionate Fuji people. So it's always an interesting experience reviewing that. And it then got me thinking about other camera systems, and particularly Canon, who for some reason or other seem to be having the opposite effect on people. And the Canon cameras seem to be taking such a amount of heat and flack at the moment. And I don't always understand why, because they're great cameras, just like the Fujifilm X-T3 is a great camera. And just people's attitude and opinions towards gear is strange sometimes, and it doesn't seem to match the images that these cameras are capable of capturing. And we're then split into the two worlds of stills and video, and a lot of these cameras are now sold, and a lot of the PR about these cameras is around video, because that's where a lot of the competition is, because the still images are great from a number of almost all of the cameras these days, and they have been for a long time. Autofocus has been great for a long time now from all the manufacturers. So video is that area where there is still quite a lot of competition, but the Fujifilm X-T3 hit that beautifully with the video features are incredible from that camera. I'm introducing it to my workflow for some of my commercial video work. Not going to be a vlogging camera because it doesn't have the flip screen, but I will be keeping it because it's also just a great walk around camera. People, when they spend a large amount of money on a camera, for one reason or another, there seems to be a sense that they want that camera to be the best it can possibly be. And the Fujifilm X-T3 is a great camera, but it does not rival the full-frame cameras in terms of image quality at the moment. And I've seen that with my tests the images that I was getting from my landscape work with that X-T3 do not match the quality of the image I get from my Canon 5D Mark IV, and the Nikon D850 is even better than the Canon 5D Mark IV, I think. And it just, the X-T3 doesn't rival that yet with its cropped sensor. And some people were saying that it does, but from my tests, it most definitely doesn't. The image quality isn't there, and I'm not sure it ever will be, because with that bigger sensor, you've got generally you've got a similar number of pixels on a bigger sensor. You get better dynamic range because of that, and you also get better noise handling as well, which overall seems to make a better image. Certainly, that's just what I've tested, but I don't want to go on too much about that. But it's getting closer. There's no doubt about it. The Fujifilm X-T3 is great for so many circumstances, but not quite for landscape. So I touched on it earlier, but the passion around the gear, I think, sometimes takes some of the emphasis for a lot of people away from what is otherwise an artistic pursuit. And I try never to lose touch with that. It's the fact that photography is an art. When I go out and shoot my landscape photography, or if I do a wedding or anything else that I'm doing, I am first and foremost creating an image. And I think it's important not to forget that, because that image is a piece of art, particularly if you print it later down the line, and that's what I'm looking to create. I enjoy the gear. I enjoy talking about it, clearly. However, that gear, for me, is still just a tool, and I want to have the best tool I can possibly afford applying that to my art. And I don't fool myself around how good it is. I don't particularly have a brand loyalty. I just want to use the best tool that I can for the job at hand. So I don't want people to get so totally focused on the technical aspects of the cameras and photography generally when it's taking away from the art, because like I said, with all these cameras these days, they are able to take incredible pictures that you can then blow up as big as you want. Even with an iPhone, you can blow up an image really big. It might not hold up if you get really close to that large image, but you don't view large images like that. You're going to step back to view them anyway, so you can't see that close-up detail. So I'd much rather people got out there and just created great images. There was a sort of comment thread on the recent video for the X-T3 where people were just getting really, really personal with each other, and the insults were flying, and it just beggars belief. There is literally no bigger waste of time than getting into an argument and getting personal about camera gear. Just, it's crazy. I like talking about camera gear, but just stop it. Go out and create some images, take some photographs, be artistic, and just chill, really, when it comes to camera gear. Just let people choose to spend their money on what they want to spend it on. And if they have an opinion about that piece of gear, that's fine too. Just respect it. Have a discussion about it, fine, because it's interesting. But then, goodness me, don't start getting personal. Anyway, I think if we move this on, I will go through my current workflow, what my camera needs are, and what I'm thinking about possibly using in future, and hopefully that will be of interest. So first and foremost, I am a landscape photographer. It's what I do. It's my day-to-day work. I go out and take landscape photographs. I do workshops and tours through Light and Land now, and that's how, at the moment, with the YouTube stuff, I am making the most of my money. So in order to capture the best landscape photographs I can possibly capture, I am looking for image quality first and foremost. And for a long time, I've been using the Canon 5D Mark IV, which I think is a great camera. It captures beautiful landscape images with the 30-odd megapixel sensor that has. I am now looking for a little bit more, though, out of image quality. And the only place to go is to medium format. Now, medium format cameras classically have been hugely, hugely expensive, scarily expensive. And you're talking about high-end studio work where you find most of these things. And it doesn't really suit taking a £20,000 camera out into the landscape. But recently, Fuji have brought out their GFX-S medium format camera, and they are soon going to be bringing out the GFX-R medium format camera, which has a 51 megapixel sensor, I think, in a rangefinder style body. With that medium format sensor in there, that is going to be something I'm very interested in. It doesn't have any, it does shoot video, but apparently it's terrible video quality. That's not going to do, it's going to be quite a niche camera, and I think that niche falls slap bang in the landscape photography genre. So I think that camera, I will be wanting to test that out, give it a try, and seriously consider purchasing that camera, because the rumoured price point is somewhere very similar to the sort of high-end DSLRs that we have now. So that Fujifilm GFX-R with its sort of fairly small mirrorless body is going to be something I'm seriously interested in, because it's not going to be too heavy. I'll be able to carry it in my pack up mountains quite comfortably. I'm excited about that camera to give it a try. There has been criticisms about the sensor, but the sort of criticisms that don't often come true when you try a camera out in the real world. So I'm pretty excited about trying that one. Next up is, within my world of my workflow generally, I'm a vlogger. So I need a vlogging camera. And for quite a while now, I have been using the Canon 800D, which is a great camera. It is a great camera, and it does stills quite nicely as well. It's got the flip screen. It's got that Canon dual pixel autofocus, which is second to none. There isn't anything as good as that. It literally never misses focus on my face, and it's a great camera, and it's done me well with the 10 to 18 millimeter lens on there, which is a terrible lens, but it does the job for me for the vlogging. I'm now looking to increase the quality of the video on my vlogs. I would like to upgrade to 4K, because I've got the setup at home now with a computer and the editing capabilities to be editing 4K footage quite comfortably, which I do in other areas of my work. But for vlogging, I would like to upgrade to 4K. So that's the first thing that the camera will need. I want to have the ability to do slow motion at 120 frames per second at least 1080p. You can upscale that to 4K quite comfortably. 720 up to 4K doesn't look very good. I need a flip screen because I need to see what I'm doing, to get my face framed properly and to see what's behind me sometimes as well. And I want great quality video, which really means the sort of, is it sharp? Is it, is there a good bit rate as well, so I can get that top quality video? And it also has to have top-notch autofocus, which many of the cameras have great autofocus now, but they still don't track the face quite as good as the Canons do. Sony comes close, but I still don't think it's as good as that Canon autofocus for tracking your face when you are vlogging. So that camera does not exist yet. It doesn't exist. And I don't really understand why, because I think if a camera like that was brought out, it would sell hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cameras, because there's loads of people vlogging now, more and more every day across all genres, not just photography. People who are doing all different kinds of videos on YouTube are going to want this kind of camera. I don't really know why it doesn't exist yet. So I'm hoping the X-T3 actually did come very close. If it had a flip screen, I would probably use it for vlogging. The autofocus isn't quite up to the standard of the Canon yet, but it's close. Where I am going to use the X-T3, and the reason I'm going to keep it, is because of generally its video features are incredible. And that sort of takes me into the filmmaking area of my workflow, some of my commercial work, some of the other video footage that I am doing. The Fujifilm sits really nicely in that, because the video features are excellent. It's got F-Log, it's got the 1080, 120p slow-mo, it's got 4K, and it does 4K at 60 frames a second as well, which is nice. So that's what I'm going to be using, the Fujifilm X-T3. It doesn't have in-body stabilization, which I've never had that really, so it's not something I'm going to miss. I'm quite happy having image stabilization in my lens. I wouldn't say no to the IBIS, but it's not something I need at the moment, because I'm using a gimbal for most of that style of filmmaking that I'm doing. So it's absolutely fine for that. Wedding photography, that's the next thing. I've cut back a lot on the weddings that I'm doing now. I haven't done one for quite a while, and I don't plan to for a while either. But now and again, if they come along at the right price, I'll still do a wedding. So I want a camera that's good enough for that. And that means having something that fits nicely in my hand. The settings are easy to adjust. There's a good range of lenses. It's reliable. It's professional. That's what I'm looking for with my wedding photography camera. For me, the X-T3 does not do that. The image quality isn't quite good enough for me as well. I want something full frame. I've been using the Canon 5D Mark IV for a long time now, and to be honest, I think that comes as close to perfect for a wedding camera as we're ever likely to see. The image quality is great. It feels great in the hand. It's not too heavy to hold all day, unless you've got the 70-200 2.8 on there, but it's just perfect. You can set up different exposure settings. It's easy to change the settings as you go from lighting in the church to outdoors in the sunshine into the where the wedding breakfast is being served and out and inside all the time. Exposure is changing all day long. The light conditions are changing, so you need a camera that's easy to, it's just natural to change exposure settings all day long. The Canons are great at that. The image quality is great. It feels good in the hand, and it's just perfect for weddings. I don't understand why that camera is now taking so much flack. It's just an absolutely beautiful all-rounder. It does everything really, really well. The images that it creates are nice. The video that it creates are nice. It doesn't deserve the flack it's getting. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Just people saying that what is a great camera at capturing great images, we're now saying that's not a good camera. And it is. It always has been. And I think it always will be. Even if you go back to the Canon 5D Mark II, which I still use for my backup camera at weddings, that's still a great camera. What value for money that camera is if you just want a stills camera, the Canon 5D Mark II. Just, we need to be focusing more, I think, on what the images look like, how you can capture those images rather than just looking for the best features all the time. I'm definitely not totally attached to the Canon 5D Mark IV though. I'm really interested in some of these full frame mirrorless offerings that are now coming. I like the Sony cameras, but I just don't want to be hand holding something that small all day. I prefer the bigger body that the Canon EOS R seems to be providing now. I haven't tried it yet. I will be interested to try it out if it has a similar sense to the 5D Mark IV. Apparently, it's got quite a nice grip. It needs to feel good in the hand if I'm going to be hand-holding it all day. And I'm also interested in trying out some of those full-frame mirrorless cameras for landscapes as well, because the medium-format cameras are expensive. I already have a full range of Canon lenses, so I'd like to see what comes after the EOS R, because I'd like to try that. But I think if they bring a higher-end one out, that is going to be something I'm very interested in, particularly if it has a sort of 50 megapixel sensor. That will be of serious interest to me. Lastly, I generally just want a camera, a walk-around camera, something that I can take out with me when I go out with the family or with friends, just something not too big, but also with good quality. I would like it to be my phone. I think phones can capture great images. They suffer in low light still because of the small sensor, because of the small lens. They're nice in the full sunshine, but they're not quite up to standard. They don't create true background blur, although some of them can fake it now with these dual lens things that they've got. The Fuji X-T3 actually is great for that, but it is just a tiny bit big for me in that sense, particularly if you've got the bigger lenses on there. But something like a little compact camera that might be nice, like the Sony RX100 line, although some of them are seriously expensive now as well. I'd like to see an improvement in the cameras on phones, just to have a bigger sensor, a bigger lens. I think most people would want that in their phone cameras, and I think we could just do away with some of these compact cameras and just we'd be quite happy with our phones, and that's certainly a workflow that I would enjoy. So I just thought I'd share my hopes and dreams going forward. I would also, though, with all of this, I would like one camera that does it all. Just having less gear is a good thing, I think. So, because it just takes all the thought away from and the talk away from all this gear. If we just had one device that did everything, that would be great, because then we could really, really then focus on creating the work. But we're not there yet. We may never be because of some of the laws of physics and how light enters lenses and things. But at the moment, that's my thoughts on gear and my workflow. So I just thought that might be of use to you and of interest. And it's good for me just to sort of talk it out, really, just to decide the roadmap of where I am going with my gear, which is the tool to then create my art. And I think as well with photography, if you are seriously getting into it, particularly with landscapes, you should look to make a print, because once you've printed it out, you've got the full story there, from planning to print and everything in between. Holding that paper, if it's good paper, holding that in your hand feels great. You can really, it then instantly becomes a piece of art. So printing is something I'm going to be talking about more. We'll talk about it more on this podcast, but I'm also going to be talking about it more on my YouTube channel over at First Man Photography on YouTube. Anyway, just a quick, relatively quick, how long have we been going? 25 minutes or so, just to get back into the podcast and give you a few thoughts about gear, a few frustrations over the last week. And I'll hopefully be bringing you these podcasts once a week is my target. It may go a little bit less than that. It may go a bit more, but there's going to be lots of photography talk of all genres, but definitely lots of landscape, because that's really what I'm doing at the moment. But if you have any questions or anything like that, please feel free to contact me on Twitter or Instagram. Particularly is a good place to contact me. I am at Adam Karnach, K-A-R-N-A-C-Z on Instagram. Adam Karnach, that's a great place to find me. Feel free to DM me, get in touch, ask you questions. I'll either answer them there and then on social media, or I will add them to a list of questions that I'll then, it's then easy to answer on this podcast that you can then listen to when you're driving, going to work, out on doing some exercise, or out taking some landscape photographs. It's totally up to you, but hopefully very soon you'll be able to find this podcast on all the main podcast providers, but you can definitely find it on iTunes and TuneIn right now. So, but you know that because you're already listening to it, don't you? So I'll see you or hear you or talk to you again very, very soon. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out everything I've got in the store as well over at firstmanphotography.com, and I'll see you very soon. I'm Adam. This is the First Man Photography Podcast. Also, if you want to give me a review on iTunes, that would be great. 5-star reviews would be most appreciated, but I'll talk to you very soon. I'm Adam. This is the First Man Photography Podcast. I need to get used to it again. I'm Adam. This is the First Man Photography Podcast. Out.